Yes, people, welcome to episode 25 of the Cricket Talks podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking through Quetta Gladiators in the lead up to the PSL. Led by Sarfraz Ahmed, this team has made some big signings, especially their opening partnership, which we're going to get onto later. But yeah, a mixed side with a lot of experience, established players, coming up players, and some big signings from across the world. So we're going to get through to this side, letting you know my thoughts on the entire team at the end, so make sure you stay tuned. But before we get started, please make sure you're following the podcast if you're listening on audio, if you're listening on Apple, and you can rate and review it as well. And if you're watching this on YouTube and you're watching my face right now, make sure you please like, comment, subscribe. Every bit of engagement that you do helps me reach the next person, which helps me reach the next person, so I can reach as many people as I can with my thoughts. So with that being said and done, let's get into the squad. So the first player, which is actually going to start with the retain list, as we always do, work our way down the retain list. The first player is Sarfraz Ahmed, the captain of the team, someone who's led Pakistan to being number one in T20 for a couple years. But yeah, Sarfraz Ahmed is a very weird character to describe. He doesn't necessarily contribute a massive amount with the bat, if we're being honest. He sort of is like Tim Payne in that sense, is a comparison I like to make. But that being said, his presence is huge. As a keeper, he knows what he's doing. He knows which bowling choices to make. He knows how to set his field. He knows how to lead the younger players. He did it with Shadab Khan. He did it with Fahim Ashraf. He did it with Hussain Dalit. He led them and managed to create them into some very nice cricketers. But whether he can sustain it this year, we'll have to see how it goes. He's played second string to Mohammad Rizwan for a couple T20 series now. Until then, he's just been really playing domestic cricket for Pakistan. He's been in and out of the squads, really working on his fitness. I guess this series, since he's confirmed to play as a keeper batsman, it's going to be interesting to see how much of a difference his fitness has made on his cricket. And it's also going to be good to see how well he performs, because for all we know, he could have an amazing PSL season, which contributes to him potentially getting some more playing time on the back of it, going into maybe the South Africa series, and him rotating alongside Mohammad Rizwan, who is in impeccable form. So, you know, Sarfraz Ahmed, I don't want to get too off topic, but you know, there's always the conversation of him playing for Pakistan again. That always has to crop up around about this time, and something I'm going to make a bit of content about. Whether I make this into another podcast episode or whether I make it a writing piece, it is something I want to address and talk about. But yeah, Sarfraz Ahmed, a successful captain. He's taken Quetta Gladiators to a title win. He's taken to the final about three times. So yeah, I don't really see Quetta Gladiators being in the wrong hands of a captain, we'll put it that way. Next up is Ben Cutting. Now, he's a veteran all-rounder, just got picked up in the IPL, since I'm recording this right after the IPL because of those mic issues. But yeah, picked up in the IPL, had a decent season last season, probably one of Quetta Gladiators, one of the better performers last season in particular. He put up about 150 with the bat at a strike rate of about 20, mid-20s, but a strike rate of 190, but an average of about mid-20s. Now, the strike rate is what I want to focus on, because that is a very healthy, that's a very good strike rate. I know he didn't score that many runs, he had about two ducks as well, but having a strike rate like that in Pakistan last season is promising, especially given the fact that they need runs at the back end. He bats number 6, number 7. If he can bat at that strike rate, at that position, he can do a lot more damage this season. I reckon he probably does still have it in him. He keeps playing. I don't know how, but he keeps playing. He did take 8 wickets last season as well at a strike rate of about 12 and economy of about 10.8. So, he did play, I think he played for Lahore as well. But, you know, it's a bit of, I think he's a little bit overrated. In my opinion, I think Ben Cutting is a little bit overrated. I think it's just because of the fact that he has that all-round three-dimensional skill set is why he's so favoured, and because he's played around the world, it just, that experience just keeps adding up, because of the fact that he can bat, he can bowl. I reckon he'll probably be most handy in the second half of the tournament in Lahore. I reckon he'll get quite a few wickets there. I think his pace, his variations will help him out with the ball. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Ben Cutting. Mohammad Hasnain is next on the Quetta Gladiators retain list. Now, he is a young express paceman, 20 years old. He was actually the second leading wicket taker of last season, which is mad to me, because as much as I don't remember a lot of last season, I don't really remember him taking that many wickets, but he did. He took about 15 wickets, two less than every... I think he played three games less than Shaheen Afridi, and only got two wickets less, which is crazy to me. So if he played all games, who knows how many wickets he would have taken. But PSL, the numbers are clearly showing, you know, if he has another season like this, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a call up at the T20 squad the T20 squad, sorry, to South Africa in April, potentially the ODI. And then I wouldn't even be surprised if he gets put in the playing 11 with these kind of performances, especially if he gets some of the big wickets, like Zaman, like Alex Hills, etc. It showed a lot of promise. But yeah, man, I honestly, in terms of Pakistan's selections, I wouldn't rate him as highly for now. He's so young, he has so much time ahead of him. But looking at this side, there's a good chance. If he's put up numbers like this last season, it's a standard for him to be put in as a regular seamer there, alongside the likes of Anwar Ali, and helping out the likes of Naseem Shah. So yeah, Mohammad Hasnain, another promising cricketer from Pakistan, and it's going to be exciting to see how many wickets he takes this season. Mohammad Nawaz is next to Quidditch Gladiators. I know the Gladiator fans and management and coaching and Viv Richards, if he's going to be part of this season, are ecstatic about him, and he's in probably the best form he's been in a while. If you heard me talking about the preview, I put my hands up and say that, you know, I rated Zafar Gohar over him in the T20 selections. I'm glad he's proven me wrong, and it's good to see that he's in form, man. I think the Gladiators needed it. I'm not sure what Case Ahmed's international commitments are, but if he is going for a few games only, similar to Rashid Khan, it is so important that Mohammad Nawaz is available and in that form that he is, because we saw him being a cover for Imad Wasim and he pretty much did an excellent job. Probably apart from the batting, Imad Wasim may or may not have contributed, you know, it's really just we'll never really know sort of thing. But he is a talented player, man. He's got his form back. He didn't have an amazing T10 or Pakistan Cup as far as I remember, but he's a handy player. He can bat, he can bowl left arm, he can bowl in the power play, middle overs, maybe the death. I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen him bowl in the death too much, but he's a player who can grip and turn it. The second half of the tournament, like I've said, for a lot of spinners who really grip the ball, he's going to love it, hopefully, in Lahore, if Quidditch Gladiators are still contending for the playoffs. And with the bat, as long as he can put some runs up, we're looking at another extremely useful all-rounder, and hopefully he does maintain that form bigger than just the Quidditch Gladiators, because we have got the tour to South Africa next month, in April, sorry. So he might even get the call up to the ODI squad, depending on how the rotation whole thing works with the bubbles and all of that, because I think England's doing a great job of it, resting, rotating players. And if Pakistan could do that, maybe, like, you know, swapping out Imad Wasim for a little bit longer, if Nawaz does perform with the bat, then we're looking at a genuine cover for Imad Wasim. And then looking even further to the World Cup, we've got an amazing player who can not with Imad Wasim taking the entire workload, we have someone who is a like-for-like replacement and can do the same job. So yeah, Mohammad Nawaz, I think, like I said, Quidditch Gladiators are going to be very happy about the progress he's made, and hopefully he gets some more wickets for them. Next up is Azam Khan, the middle-order destructive batsman. Last season he had 9 games, 150 runs, a strike rate of 130, but only a 19 average. Now, I don't think those numbers justify him. I genuinely do think he's one of the players Pakistan is going to have in the next couple of years, making his debut. It's really just a fitness issue with him. Otherwise, I don't see him any problem with him getting a call up into the Pakistan squad. He's extremely talented. He could be up there with potentially competing with maybe Rahil Nazir in a couple of years' time when. Or not a couple of years time, maybe a more bit more long term than that, but he's an extremely talented player. His dad played for Pakistan as well, Moin Khan, a keeper batsman, and I'm sure he learned that off him, man. Yeah, again, the numbers don't justify him. Quidditch Gladiators have got themselves a very, very nice player. They used him last season, I'm sure they will this season. Whether he opens a batting with Tom Banton or whether he bats in the middle order, he's going to have a huge amount to learn this season from Tom Banton and Chris Gayle, who I'm going to talk about later on since they're the picks. But yeah, he's definitely one for the long term for Quidditch Gladiators. When players like Sarfraz Ahmed retire, he can be a very good cover, as he'll have several years of experience going into the PSL as potentially captain. So yeah, Azam Khan, a very good project for the future, and I have no doubt that this season he could perform well. And if he doesn't, it's really no stress, because of how, you know, how long he has ahead of him. He has quite a few years ahead of him and a lot of potential. Any team would snap him up if they had the opportunity now to. Next up is the young Naseem Shah from Quidditch Gladiators. Again, very, very young. He's definitely one of the long-term projects for Quidditch Gladiators. They've got, like I said before at the start, they've got an interesting mix between experienced, established players and the upcoming ones in the likes of Azam Khan, Mohammad Hasnain, Naseem Shah.
Got him straight away. Yorker, in fact, Rocky yorking himself. Speed 142.7.
Stumped,
uprooted. Brilliant from Quetta. They needed it. Rocky started right out of the blocks with a 4 and a 6. He got himself moving at the crease. He comes down. He almost yorks himself. Gives himself room. Actually plays outside the line. But what a terrific delivery to start for the youngster.
Economy was 7.3.
Fantastic. So Rocky, he's always dangerous, but he goes for 11.
Isn't ideal, but 5 wickets, you know. Again, young player, there's not too much pressure on him. It might look like it, but there isn't really
success
too much
pressure on him. From Nassim Shah, the pace was up as well. 144.6 click that last ball. 18 for one. Viewers, couple of great sixes. And good pace bowling from Nassim Shah. He's not going to shy away from this challenge. He's got pace. And the pitch has a bit of bounce in it. 5 clicks.
Nassim Shah will be able to do that. He's got the numbers, the pace to show it. But yeah, a long-term project. I'll probably see him playing the same amount of games, five, six, seven games.
That's a wide down the leg side.
As a Lahore fan, not a huge amount of fear of him, to be honest. I don't think we'll be too worried about Nassim Shah compared to players like Mohammad Hasnain and Dale Steyn, who have a big history away from them. Mohammad Hasnain more with last season, but Dale Steyn across his career in T20 cricket. Next is Zahid Mahmood. Now, if you asked me who Zahid Mahmood was, I'd give you probably 2 seconds worth of information about who he was as a player. He definitely made his mark coming into the Pakistan squad. He had his debut, third T20, something like 2-3 wickets in his first over, one in the second, or one in the third, and he lost a bit of composure at the end of his spell, I'll be honest, but we saw how much talent it is. You can't take 2 wickets on your first over as a fluke. And he was on a hat-trick as well. And he got hit for 4 or 6 on his first ball. But what a talented player, man. He can grip it and turn it as hard as Usman Qadir. And he's an extremely talented player. I think Quetta Gladiators have got themselves another good Pakistani spinner to have alongside Mohammad Nawaz. And again, if Qais Ahmed isn't available for all the games, then we're looking at a good second spinner. If he is available, then we might see him play anyway in the back end of the tournament, when Quetta may or may not play 3 spinners, or they may take out Mohammad Nawaz and put him in, or take out Qais Ahmed and put him in. So this, I think, having him in the squad and having the amount of talent that he did and he displayed on debut is going to be so handy for Quetta Gladiators. I think something they definitely lacked was, alongside putting up runs, as defending with the spinners. I don't think they performed too well with the spinners last season. So, hopefully, Zahid Mahmood can do that for Quetta Gladiators in the long run. Next up is Anwar Ali, the veteran seamer. Played for a lot of sides. 33 years old. I'm not exactly sure of his numbers last season, but I did know he played in the T10 recently. His numbers have been pretty good. He put up a couple of numbers at the bat, about 33, 36 not out. With a Sindh, he hasn't been too bad either. I remember him, I heard about him scoring, a 65 not out recently. I haven't looked at some of his recent numbers, and his bowling figures aren't exactly big. He hasn't taken a huge amount of wickets recently, but I wouldn't be too worried about it. I'm sure Quetta Gladiators will play him as a frontline spinner or to someone to help out the likes of Nassim Shah and Mohammad Hasnain throughout this tournament. But yeah, we all know what Anwar Ali is capable of. A very good bowler. Seam bowler who has the ability to bowl with the old ball and the new ball, and he's very handy down the order. We've seen him quite a few times help Quetta Gladiators, help Pakistan to some handy wins with the bat. So yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. 33 years old, you know, last season I did hear, I came across a story that Anwar Ali wasn't picked up in the draft and he only came in as a sub and still managed to make the Quetta Gladiators first team. So yeah, he's a resilient cricketer. Anwar Ali, another great player for Quetta Gladiators, one of the more established ones, alongside Ben Cutting, Sarfraz Ahmed, Dale Steyn. So it's going to be good to see how he plays out this season. Next up is Chris Gayle. Now, Chris Gayle has been a part of the PSL for probably 3 out of the 5 seasons that have happened. I know he played 1 or 2 seasons with Karachi. I know he played a season with Lahore towards the start of the tournament, being actually existing. And as far as I know, I don't think he had any big seasons, you know. I'd have to check up on the 2016-2017 stats. but I don't remember him doing massive amounts for Lahore. Well, Lahore wasn't doing massive amounts either, but Chris Gayle, we all know what Chris Gayle is capable of. 40 plus years old now, 41 or something like that, and he can still whack it out of the park, or whack anyone out of the park. He just makes it look effortless. He did have a good, decent form with the T10 recently. I know he'd put up an 89 or something like that, not out in one of the games, but apart from that, I don't remember him getting any too many big scores. But we all know what he's capable of. Top order, he can whack it out of the park, really lift that strike rate from the beginning. I think it's going to be important that if we see him opening, it's going to be important to see who the other opener is. I'm assuming it's going to be Tom Banton. There's a potential that Azam is there because I've seen hints of him opening with Azam Khan. But it's going to be so important, I think, to Quetta Gladiators that they manage to get that balance right between having someone who has the ability to put a 190 strike rate and somebody who probably calms it down, anchors the side a little at 150, 140, 130. At the top of the order, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's important when there's a top order collapse that you have someone there who can carry you through to the 17th over, then maybe lose his wicket or step on the gas a little. And it's important that however Chris Gayle goes about it, and I'm sure he's not going to be that anchor role, it's going to be important to see how Quetta Gladiators pair him up. Whether they put Azam Khan there, who potentially can do some stroke play or rotate the wicket. So yeah, that's going to be the most interesting thing. But I think we all know what Chris Gayle is capable of. If you want to ask me how I think he's going to perform in Pakistan, I have no idea. I don't think he's played too many games in Pakistan, actually. I think a lot of what he played in the PSL was in Abu Dhabi and in the UAE. So yeah, it's just going to be interesting. It's going to be a first for me as well. So we'll see how he goes. Tom Banton is next up. Now, we all know what Tom Banton is capable of. His incline from playing county cricket to being picked up by pretty much every major franchise across the world was so quick. I still remember him. I definitely watched a lot of him because when Somerset signed Babar Azam, I was really looking at Somerset cricket quite a lot with Hildreth and Tom Abel and Tom Banton and Max Waller and all these kind of players. I was really watching them a lot more closely than I normally would watch the Vitality Blast, where I'd normally focus on Worcestershire. But I watched Tom Banton and his ability to play fast bowling. Fast bowling is definitely his strength, but his ability to make it seem effortless. He has that dimension where he makes it look like he has so much time in the world. Someone like Rohit Sharma does that so well. And he just does that, and you know, reverse sweeping a seam bowler who's bowling on his pads, that is unheard of, even in the unorthodox era that cricket is in right now, or transitioning into, just because it just wasn't something you'd do. And he obviously learned that from hockey, and he's transitioned some of those skills that he learned in hockey over to cricket, and that's sick to see. He's definitely got that uniqueness about him from that. When he did have that breakout season when Babar Azam was there, he got picked up by Big Bash for Brisbane. He got picked up in the IPL that he has been fortunate enough to leave because of all the bubble issues, which I hope he has all the best with. But Tom Banton, man, an amazing player. I know he played for Peshawar last season. I don't think he had a particularly big season there, probably averaging 22-23. I'm assuming at a strike rate of 130. I don't remember him having huge innings. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, man. I think this is going to be his second season playing in Pakistan. Probably going to prefer the first half when we're playing in Karachi, but it's going to be good to see how he plays out, how much he learns from the likes of, you know, Chris Gayle potentially opening the batting with him. And like I said, with Chris Gayle, it's going to be important to see where Tom Banton actually bats, whether he bats three, whether he bats four or opens. It's going to be good to see how the whole balance works out between Quetta Gladiators. But I'm looking forward to seeing him play, man. As much as I wouldn't like to be in the receiving end of it as a Lahore fan, I'm not. I'd say, you know, he can definitely cause some damage, but I think Lahore has what it takes to get him out with the bowling attack we have. But I definitely feel like he's going to cause damage this season. I just got a good feeling about it. Now, the next player is Usman Shinwari. As far as I know, he last played for Lahore, I think. I don't know how long he's been playing for Quetta, obviously he's signed for them. But I'm not sure what team he played for last season. But he is a very good player. I still think he's a little bit underrated. His form hasn't been amazing. I don't think he had a great T10. I don't think he had a great Pakistan Cup stint. But with that being said, you know, I compare him a lot to actually Shaheen Shah Afridi in his bowling style. He's hard-hitting, he's aggressive, he's front-on.
and he lost to ball with the new ball, man. He's attacking at the stumps. He has a lot of carry, a lot of energy. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see him play. I can probably see him playing for the regular side very, very easily, helping out the likes of, you know, Nassim Shah. Who also got here, Mohamed Hussain, working alongside Anwar Ali. But I can definitely see him being in the regular side. Whether they play two seamers or whether they play three seamers, he's going to be part of that, no doubt, as long as he stays fit. But yeah, that is Usman Shinwari. Next up is Cameron Delport. Now, as far as I know, he played for Karachi last season, and I think that was because they had to defend some sort of total, and Cameron Delport came onto ball. This is Lahore, by the way. And I think Ben Dunk hit a 6 and won the game or something like that. But yeah, he's been in the PSL for a couple of seasons now. He's played for Lahore themselves, he's played for Karachi, he's played for Islamabad, I think. He's been around. Last season he had 8 innings, 180 odd runs, 22 average, 120 strike rate. Now, those numbers don't speak massive about him, but he's been in the PSL for a while now. He's adapted the conditions. I reckon there's no reason why he couldn't be performing well next season. He didn't have an amazing T10, I think he had 14 one of the games. So yeah, he's a bit one of those iffy ones. I don't see why he couldn't play in the middle order for Quetta Gladiators, somewhere around 4-5. There aren't exactly a huge amount of to do that. So yeah, Cameron Delport, will hopefully see him get some runs this season. Next up is Case Ahmed, another one of Afghanistan's young leg spinners. I think he bowls like left arm wrist spin, a couple with that he can belt down at 70 miles an hour, but I'm not exactly sure how his schedule is. I did just find out that Rashid Khan for Lahore is only going to be here for 2 games, and I found out about a few other players as well, so I'm not sure whether he will be playing in the test side or whether he has national duty or not, but we'll see how it goes. We do know that he's a dangerous leg spinner though. He's coming to the scene very, very quickly. He's played for Hobart already not too long ago, and yeah, a great leg spinner. I think Quetta Gladiators did have Fawad Ahmed at some point, but looking at the side, you know, how many other spinners do they really have? They have Mohammed Nawaz, and that is it. So there's a good chance we'll see him being the mainstream spinner as long as he's there the full season. But yeah, a very exciting player. It'll be good to see how he plays out in Pakistan. The final player is Abdul Nasir. Now, I actually had to do some research on him, and he has barely any cricket to his name. He's played for Quetta Regions, played for Quetta Under 17, something like that, and he's played for Galle Gladiators, which I'm assuming is Sri Lanka's Premier League team. He literally has nothing to his name. I just found out he's an off-break bowler. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's Abdul Nasir. Now people, that was the Quetta Gladiators episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know what you think of this team. Do you think they have what it takes? They've been to the final about 3 times, they've taken the title once. Do you think they have what it takes to take the title once more? I personally don't think they have it anywhere near. Just looking at the side, there's just so many, it just looks incomplete. Sarfraz Ahmed, who just hasn't had a run of games for a while. Ben Cutting, yes, okay. But Mohammed Hussain, it's a bit iffy. Mohammed Nawaz is probably their best shot right now. And then you've got Chris Gayle, Tom Banton. I just feel like they haven't got their bowling attack sorted out properly at all. I feel like they're just going to go for a lot of runs. That being said, I'll be happy to be proven wrong. But let me know you guys' thoughts on the team. Do you think they have what it takes to be in there? I've been Mo Blogs. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe this video. If you're listening on audio, please stream our other episodes. This is what pushes me up the charts, or keeps me in the charts. We are going up, we are going down the charts. So yeah, keep streaming my stuff, man. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We've got one more coming up, the PSL preview series, and then we'll have weekly roundups or special live streams where I don't have to do these actual editing ones. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Tomorrow will be Karachi Kings, and I'll see you guys in the next episode of Cricket Talks.